You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC. Unfortunately, not currently your daily reminder that the Reds are top of the league. Now, if we were to take the Gary Neville approach to league tables, we could say that the Reds are joint top of the Premier League. But unfortunately, in reality, we are second on goal difference. 1-1 yesterday against Manchester City, a game in which we were outstanding, a game in which they went 1-0 up through John Stones on 23 minutes. They'd started better than us. They had a better first 15 than us. But then we'd come back into the game and we were looking the more threatening team. Their goal came against the run of play. It came from a defensive error on our side that Virgil cleaned up. But obviously, the ball went out for a corner. And it's a really well-taken corner. De Bruyne plays it low and hard to the near post. Aki levers Alexis McAllister out of the way, and John Stones strides in with nobody marking him and beats Kelleher. No blame for anybody, in my opinion. I mean, I still maintain that it is worth putting a man on one of the posts, but we had Alexis in that front post slot. He got levered out. It is what it is. From there, we were the better team for the remainder of the first half. And for the entirety of the second half, we absolutely dominated them. They did have, I suppose, two chances. One, Haaland got through against Van Dijk, and Virgil dealt with it very, very well. The other was in the second half when Phil Foden got in, and Kevin Kelleher dealt with it brilliantly, making a great save. But aside from that, it was us dominant. And we really should have won that game. Alexis gets us back into it just after half time. Nathan Aki plays a back pass to the goalkeeper. It's short. Darwin does brilliantly to anticipate it, to get there first. Ederson cleans him out. Ederson hurts himself. Alexis steps up and puts the penalty home. Then Ederson has to go off. Now, bear in mind, when he goes down the first time, he's down for about 4 minutes. And when he goes down the second time, he's again down for about 4 minutes. So there's about 8 minutes that don't get played because of Ederson alone. Luis Diaz has two outstanding chances to get us ahead. One, he's played through by Mohamed Salah. It's an outstanding ball that splits the entire City defence. He just doesn't have the composure. The goalkeeper sells himself early, goes down. Diaz should go to the left-hand post or should just bring the ball around the goalkeeper. He tries to go to the right-hand post and he gets it all wrong. The second one, Darwin finds him with a lovely return pass. That might have actually been first. The Darwin one might have been first, but Darwin finds him with a gorgeous return pass and his first touch is a mess. He should score both of those. Then we get another great opportunity where Cody Gakpo, the goalkeeper's on the floor, the defence is on the floor. He just needs to shoot. And instead he tries to play it to Salah. And Aki defends it quite well. And it's a bad, bad ball to Salah regardless. We had those pretty big chances. Now, after the Ederson injury, secondary injury or secondary set of treatment and then substitution, there are other subs made in the game by both us and by them. And there's also treatment for Kyle Walker. So there really should have been probably 10 to 12 minutes of stoppage time, but instead we get 8. And the Reds are pretty dominant. City have had to withdraw KDB. They can't really get a foothold. They have one spell of absolutely pointless possession where they knock it backwards and sidewards for about 3 minutes, and then we just take the ball off them. But deep into the stoppage time, set piece in the City box, it's half cleared, it bounces, Alexis moves on to it, Alexis gets to it first, and Jeremy Doku catches him around the nipple with his boot. Now, I know Alexis isn't the tallest of fellas, but Jeremy Doku isn't either. And his boot is fully 4.5 foot off the ground because he's jumping to do this. There is not a world in which it's not a Stonewall penalty. Michael Oliver bottles the big decision on field, as you'd expect from Michael Oliver, despite the fact that he's looking straight at it. But VAR have to give it. Have to. There's no argument to be made that it's not a Stonewall penalty. Alexis gets the ball first. And even if Doku had gotten the ball first, we have been told over and over and over again that it doesn't actually matter if you get the ball first. It's more about the follow-through. And we have seen countless red cards this season for players who get the ball first and then follow through and catch the man. The most obvious one to bring up here is the Curtis Jones one, where he clearly gets the ball first, goes over the ball, and gets Bissouma on the ankle. This is a situation where Alexis gets the ball first and Doku kicks through the ball or kicks the ball with his big toe, but kicks into Alexis. It's a blatant Stonewall penalty and it's not given. And the reason it's not given is because of the time, because it's the 99th minute. That's why it's not given. If it's the 59th minute, it's given all day long. It's given on the pitch by Oliver because he had a perfect view of it. Now, there's obvious things we could point out here about Michael Oliver, who is a corrupt referee, not very good at his job, despite claims to the contrary. He's never been a good referee. He's always been terrible. And you'd have to wonder how it's okay for a man who very recently went to referee in Abu Dhabi to be refereeing a Manchester City game. Went to referee in Abu Dhabi, a private deal where he was no doubt extremely well paid, probably earning more for one match than he earns for multiple months refereeing in the Premier League. You would have to wonder how it's okay for him to be refereeing this fixture. And I really do hope he's ashamed of himself when he looks back at that. And I believe it was Stuart Atwell on the VAR, who's also absolutely terrible. For the two of them to come to the conclusion that that wasn't a penalty is just absolutely incredible to me. It's genuinely incredible. And you wouldn't mind if it was the first time this season that we'd been on the end of a shit decision, but it's not. There was the Virgil red card and subsequent extra game ban for swearing at a referee. When we see players swearing at referees every single week and getting no punishment at all. There was the Alexis red card, which is obviously rescinded. There was the Curtis Jones red card where, again, he got the ball first, and there's very little force when he catches Bissouma, who, of course, played on. There's the Luis Diaz goal in that same Spurs game, which was clearly onside, flagged for offside, and then somehow the VAR want to claim that the VAR thought that the on-field decision was to give the goal. And it gets cleared. Good process, lads. And you can see the moment. You can see the moment when you watch that game back where the referee finds out we fucked up here. You can see it in his face. The ball goes out for a throw-in about 20 seconds after the restart. And he is told then, we've made a mistake here. Why is that goal not being given? Now, he could have stopped that game then and there and given us the goal and explained what had happened. And he didn't. So we were robbed of a point that day. Now, you could argue we were robbed of 3 points, but I'm not greedy, so I'll just say we were robbed of a point. But also, we had a bogus red card in that game, so we probably were robbed of 3 points. Spurs have, let's say, 2 points more than they should have. Because, again, I would say that game, a draw, fine. We'll just take the draw. We'll move on. So Spurs have a point more than they should have. That's worth remembering because they're challenging for the Champions League. And if I'm Aston Villa, I'm fucking fuming about this. And I'm probably joining Liverpool at the end of the season in a call for that game to be replayed. But by the by, we move on. Some other decisions go against us, but there's nothing egregious for a couple of months. And then we play Arsenal at home. And Martin Odegaard plays basketball in his own penalty area. The referee sees it, doesn't give it, and somehow the VAR clears it, claiming he was slipping when he wasn't. Or claiming he was falling, rather. When he wasn't. He wasn't falling. He might have slipped. He wasn't falling. You don't put your hands down like that if you're falling. You put your hands out. You don't put them down towards your feet. Nobody has ever fallen, ever in the history of the world, and putting their hand down by their foot. You put your hands out to brace yourself and protect your head. So were robbed of what would have been a penalty, which would have won us that game. So there are 2 points that we've been robbed of, and a point that Arsenal should not have that they got from that game. And then there's yesterday. And that's another 2 points that we've been robbed of. It's another point that a team has gotten that they shouldn't have. So while we look at the Premier League and we see Arsenal 64 points, Liverpool 64 points, Manchester City 63 points, Villa 55, Tottenham 52, what we should be seeing is Liverpool 69 points, Arsenal 63 points, Manchester City 62 points, Villa 55, and Spurs 52. And that's not being selfish on the Spurs game. But if you want to say we should have had 3 points, then fair enough. We'd be on 71. We'd be 8 points clear. And Spurs would be on 50. And Villa would be 5 points clear of them. It's absolutely incredible that the PGMOL are getting away with this. Week after week, these horrendous decisions. And you know what really winds me up? Is that when a very minor decision goes in our favour, such as the drop ball against Nottingham Forest, it's days and days of coverage. And yet, we've just been robbed in the biggest game of the year between the two best teams in the country. The defining rivalry of the Premier League of the last 8 years. We've been robbed, and there won't be a fraction of the coverage, a fraction of the outrage that there was over a drop ball that had no impact on the outcome of a game. Likewise, Arsenal on Saturday, Kai Havertz is booked for what could potentially have been a red card offence. Then he dives 20 minutes later and should very clearly have been given a second yellow card and been sent off. He then scores the winner 20 minutes after that when he shouldn't have been on the pitch. It got about 15 seconds on Match of the Day. About 15 seconds. The drop ball got about 8 minutes. It's unbelievable how biased the media are. But you know what? It's going to make it all the sweeter when we win the league. It is. Because nobody's had to deal with as many horrendous, blatant robberies as we have. Nobody's had to deal with as many bad decisions going against them, which are then apologized for, than us. You can find the numbers. We have been most negatively impacted by incorrect VAR decisions this season, and it isn't really close. And then look at the injury situation that we've had to go through. Can you remember the last time we didn't have at least 4 starters not in the team? Like yesterday, no Alisson, no Trent, no Ibu, no Jota. Mo not fit enough to start. There's 5. 5 starters not available. That doesn't include Curtis Jones. Doesn't include Thiago, doesn't include Bucetic, doesn't include Joel Matip, all of whom would be valuable squad players for us, 2 of whom we haven't had really all season. Nobody else has had to deal with the level of injuries that we've had to deal with. And yet, we're still fucking here. We're still in a situation where we're a point ahead of City with 10 games to go. And if you'd offered me that at the start of the season, regardless of anything else, if you'd said, look, 10 games to go, you're going to be a point ahead of City, I'd have snapped your hand off. Because if we finish above City, we will win the league. If we finish above City, we will win the league. And it was interesting last night that even Richard Keyes, noted for his hatred of Liverpool, has come out and said that Michael Oliver is above reproach and that VARs are afraid to challenge him for his on-field decision. And this is something that is known about Michael Oliver, that he does not take well to having his on-field decisions challenged by the VAR. And that he's known, there were reports, multiple reports of senior referees approaching the VAR at Stockley Park, where the referees train, and having arguments with them because they didn't like being shown up when their decisions were challenged, when their decisions were challenged by the VAR. And you can bet every penny you have in your bank account that Michael Oliver was one of those who was going up and starting these arguments. It's genuinely shocking to me that this fella is held in any kind of high regard because he's terrible. And the arguments that have been made against it are just mind-blowing. Shea Given on Match of the Day, it's not head height. The fuck difference does that make? Jamie Carragher, it was a 50-50. They want to make sure they get these decisions right. Well, they didn't get it right. That's not a 50-50. A boot in the chest is never a 50-50, Jamie. It's dangerous play. You'd know all about it. Remember that time you nearly broke Manny's leg? That was dangerous play as well, and in the modern game, you'd have been sent off for it. That's the point of VAR. Jamie Carragher, proof that you can take the gobshite out of Everton, but you'll never, ever take the Everton out of the gobshite. Anyway, we were robbed yesterday. We should still be top of the league, but all is not lost, my friends. All is not lost, because we play Brighton next. And this Brighton team are very much there for the beating. Very much there for the beating. So when we beat Brighton on Sunday the 31st of March, 2 p.m. kickoff, we will be top of the league before Manchester City and Arsenal play at the Etihad. And what we're looking for there is a draw. That'll put us 2 points clear of Arsenal and 3 points clear of City. Then we play Sheffield United at home. Arsenal are playing Luton the same night. City have Villa home, which is a little bit trickier, but John McGinn won't play after he was sent off yesterday. So all three teams should win. That would maintain the lead. Then we go to Old Trafford. We are winning at Old Trafford. Arsenal are going to Brighton the previous evening. I think they drop points there. City are going to Crystal Palace. They will win that game. But I think Arsenal draw. And I think after that weekend, which is the weekend of my birthday, which so you can all send me happy birthdays on that weekend, please. I think after that weekend, we will be 4 points clear of Arsenal, 3 clear of City. That brings us to match week 33. We are home to Palace. We will win. City are home to Luton. They will win. Arsenal are home to Villa. That one could be tricky. But let's just say all three teams win. Then, match day 34, we're away to Fulham. Arsenal are away to Wolves. I could see them dropping points in that one. But let's just say they win. We will win. But I think City will drop points. City are playing Spurs that weekend. Away. I think Spurs will take something off City. And I think we come out of that weekend 4 clear of Arsenal and 5 clear of City. Then we go to West Ham. City go to Forest. Both of us will win. Arsenal lose at Tottenham, for me. And that's Arsenal done and dusted. That's Arsenal done and dusted with 3 games left. We play Spurs at home. City play Wolves home. Arsenal become irrelevant. City will win. It wouldn't surprise me if we drop points in this one, but I'm going to say a win because we're at home and Ange Postecoglou's a massive red. Match week 37. We're away to Villa. City are away to Fulham. I think we draw and City win. I think we draw and City win. And we go into the final day, and I believe I have us at this point 1 point ahead of them. They play West Ham home. We play Wolves home. There's not a thing in the world that's stopping us winning the league. We are winning this league this year. But remember, if Arsenal bottle it from here, it'll be a historic bottle job. And it's still City's league to lose. On AnfieldIndex.com, there is a piece of writing regarding Liverpool and the VAR. So do check that one out. There's a piece about Klopp questioning the VAR. Piece about Luis Diaz's performance yesterday. A piece about what's next for Andy Robertson. There are a couple of new podcasts recorded before the game. There's a Scouted, there's a Rival Recon. If you haven't heard them, they're worth a listen anyway. There's also a Scouser Tommy's with Jim and Jay, which is always tremendous. And then there is Post-Match Raw. Trev Downey, myself, Harry Setti, reacting to the game. That is entitled PGMOL Joke Shop. So do give that one a listen. We went 100 minutes. There's a lot to say, so maybe break it up into, you know, smaller pieces. But yeah. Do you know what? After the game, I was okay with the point. Fucking fuming now. I'm absolutely livid. And if I got hold of Michael Oliver, they'd need to get fucking CSI in to identify what was left of them. Good luck and mind yourselves. I'll see you tomorrow.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.